Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, happy New Year, Mount Olivet. Once again, it is so good to see you here on this first day of the year, all in such fine form. I was speaking with Pastor Cieslik last week about this being New Year's Day and how that coincides with the reading that Pastor Callen just read. And I started thinking about all the ways I start wanting a new start in the new year, and all of the resolutions that I make, and all of the self-help books that I have on my bookshelf at home. And I said, I couldn't believe, if you looked at the percentage of self-help books I have on my bookshelf, it just takes up a great deal of space. And Pastor Cieslik was curious about why. And I said, I think I just feel better knowing the things I learn in these books. I often, just like New Year's resolutions, don't end up doing them, but I file things back in the way of my head, and there's security in knowing I could make myself better. And the truth is, I think I'm not alone. I started looking up statistics. According to NPD Group, the self-help industry has exploded in recent years by 11% from 2013 to 2019. Then it dipped during the pandemic, and now it's back in full force, growing up to 18.6 million volumes each year. Millennials are considered the future of the market, but baby boomers are actually the primary consumers of self-help services. So I started thinking, what does all of this tell us? We all probably long for a fresh start in life. We all have places we want to get better, places we want to be free. We all have places we long for forgiveness, places we've made mistakes and regrets that we'd like to erase. So it makes sense that self-help books and plans would pique our interest, especially as we start the new year. But today's scripture from 2 Corinthians proclaims that the root of true change is in Christ Jesus our Lord. As the Apostle Paul so clearly states, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. So what is Paul trying to say? Well, Paul's relationship with the Corinthian church is actually kind of on the rocks at this point. In his first letter to the church, they were all swimmingly happy. But now they're all sort of finding themselves in some tension and conflict. They're confused. And Paul is trying to reconcile relationships between each other, between their relationships with him, and between their relationships with God. And he sends this letter imploring them to look at each other not any longer from a human point of view, but as believers who are in Christ, constantly being renewed, becoming new creations. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. And all of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Without Christ, new starts, healed relationships, and gracious understandings toward others and ourselves are really quite impossible. But there's this thing in all of us called the will. And this New Year's attitude, this fresh start longing of where there's a will, there's a way, kind of trumps our ideas about living in Christ. To be a new creation implies that we don't actually will a thing in our lives. Just as God breathed breath into the chaos to create the world, God breathes into you and me, too, continually making us new creations each and every day. God renews us in and by the power of Christ. This is the promise of our baptism. This is the good news every time we splash someone in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And because the world will tell you all sorts of things, like you'll hear voices about how to become better, how you don't measure up, or who's more important, or who's right or wrong, you'll hear insults just as much as you'll hear compliments. And the temptation throughout all of our life is to believe that these voices are the truth, that these voices really know what's up. But your baptism reminds you that your deepest identity is in Christ. And in Christ, we are all new creations. And being in Christ is nothing of our own doing. People often ask me why Lutheran churches baptize babies. And I say that's precisely why. Because being in Christ means that God is the actor in our lives. When you're a baby, you don't will yourself upon people or the world. You are completely dependent upon another. Baptism reminds us that we are simply recipients of God's grace. Martin Luther's Small Catechism says this: Baptism means that the old Adam in us shall be drowned, and that a new person shall daily emerge and rise to live in righteousness and purity before God. Day in and day out, we return to that central identity, our baptismal promise. The old sinful self is drowned, and a new person rises up to live in Christ. It is Christ who brings freedom and righteousness, not us. So one of my favorite images of this is in Henry Nouwen's book, With Open Hands. I come to it often, and I just used it in a Bible study I led to on prayer. He talks about a woman entering a hospital who doesn't own very much. She doesn't have many means, only a few coins. And when she enters the hospital, she's asked to let go of her personal possessions. And she can't do it. She holds on to those last coins so tightly, more resolutely than anything, perhaps like all of us do, when we cling to things or ideas or accomplishments or whatever, thinking that they will bring us control, stability, and a way forward. But Henry Nouwen says, God comes in and asks us to open our hands, to let God's ways be in us, to transform our willful and resolute ways into willing and gracious ways. Because these are the ways that God's creation is known. Our baptismal promises proclaim that our lives are not about us. They are about God with us, creating in us, renewing us day by day. This is the good news, not just this New Year's Day, but every single day of our lives, especially when we feel uncertain or nervous or anxious about our way forward. When our habits seem to act against us, God invites us to open our hands rather than white-knuckle our way forward. Jesus' death and resurrection makes us the people God calls us to be, and God keeps calling us back into that relationship day after day after day. It's as simple and as complicated as that. I remember moving to Seattle right after college to do something called the Lutheran Volunteer Corps. I was young and motivated. I was achievement-oriented. I kind of felt like I had the world at my fingertips. I went and I moved in with five others from across the country that I had never met. We lived in one house together. We were excited, nervous, motivated all in the same ways, and we wanted to learn new things. And we quickly learned that there would be moments that we would be conflicted, much like the Corinthian community, I would imagine. There would be times that our personal goals needed to take the back seat, or they couldn't be achieved. There were habits that needed to be broken in order to live with one another. And I would get so frustrated with myself when I couldn't do what I really wanted to do. And instead of pausing and opening my hands, I would often just try harder, push, force my way through the world, thinking that would move the needle a little bit. Until someone shared with me this poem called Patient Trust by a Jesuit priest named Pierre Teilhard de Chardin. And so to close my sermon today, I'd like to share it with you now as well. It goes like this. Above all, trust in the slow work of God. We are quite naturally impatient in everything to reach the end without delay. We should like to skip the intermediate stages. We are impatient of being on the way to something unknown, something new. And yet it is the law of all progress that is made by passing through some stages of instability, and that may take a very long time. And so I think it is with you. Your ideas mature gradually. Let them grow. Let them shape themselves without undue haste. Don't try to force them on. As though you could be today what time, that is to say grace and circumstances acting on your own goodwill, will make of you tomorrow. Only God could say what this new spirit gradually forming within you will be. Give our Lord the benefit of believing that God's hand is leading you, and accept the anxiety of feeling yourself in suspense and incomplete. Essentially, this is the promise of our baptism, not only today, but every day, as I've said. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. May you believe it and know that Jesus goes with you wherever you go. Amen.